what's going on in the Capitol and how it affects you. State Senator Tony Wong joins Melissa in the morning right now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
If you go back and listen to my podcast from last week, the morning after March 20th, you probably thought I was getting into a fight with State Senator Kevin Kelly, but I was not. I was very frustrated, though, to say the least, when I found out that not one piece of legislation put forward in regards to our insurance and trying to make it more affordable was even voted on, let alone passed out of committee. I was fuming about this because this is an effort that has gone on for a very long time. We know, for example, Senator Tony Wong has been really at the forefront of trying to find more affordable options for Connecticut families, and it just keeps coming up short. And this felt like this was the quickest it came up short in recent legislative sessions, and so I was mad about it. But then I find out that there's this meeting yesterday, and maybe, just maybe, we might see the Insurance and Association Health Plans legislation come back to life before the session is over. Do tell, Senator Tony Wong. Welcome back.
Good morning, Melissa. Indeed, I think the frustration was shared by everyone, and equally frustrating was the disappointment that all the advocates who testified, the experts, and the effort that went into a public hearing to never have a chance to be able to deliberate and vote it and move it forward is really a disappointment in the democratic process. But I'm encouraged because what happened yesterday and many of the days afterwards and the importance of the Association Health Plan and the true bipartisan and bicameral, meaning the House and Senate, support of this is reigniting the fact that we can move this forward. How? Well, I think the first thing is we had a public hearing. We had the vetting and the transparency of hearing this debate. Even though the Committee of Cognizance, which is the Insurance and Real Estate Committee, did not have a chance to do it, we had a vehicle to be able to look at comparable bills that we can now potentially attach to future legislations that did get the joint favorable approval. The disappointment is it didn't come from the Insurance Committee, but it is up to the leadership. And I'm encouraged to hear that the leadership is recognizing the widespread public support from chambers of commerces, credit unions, our Rotaries and Kiwanises. Even Fran Pastor of the Women Business Development Council talked about a lot of the small business initiatives that would really benefit from this. So this is a win-win opportunity that unfortunately broke down in a political process. But I'm encouraged that we can move forward. And it is important that we move forward on this because health care for small businesses and individuals are unaffordable. It's not just this year with the double-digit increases. It's for the past 10 years. Mm-hmm. And many businesses and even individuals and young people over 26 that aren't on their parents' plans are going to struggle to make decisions between whether they pay their car bill or mortgages or put food on the table than getting insurance, health insurance.
Right.
That is unconscionable.
No, I agree with you. So let me understand this correctly, Senator, and please correct me because you know I might get this wrong. So essentially what I'm understanding is they ran out of time, right? The committee that would have been in charge of this insurance and real estate, they ran out of time to vote on this. It wasn't a fact of you know, we aren't interested in voting on this. We ran out of time. Okay. So now this is going to get attached to, is it a bill that is still not out of committee yet, or is this something that already passed out of a separate committee that this would be attached to?
It needs to pass out of a committee of joint favorable approval, which makes it move forward. And it has to be a related area of interest. We can look at public health bills. We can look at human services bills or any other related bills that has health plans or insurance. And it is up to the leadership. Truly and respectfully, the governor could have a voice in this, but it is the leadership of the Speaker of the House as well as the Senate President that makes these kind of decisions. We can insert that into bill, and obviously it is not ideal, but nevertheless, I think it's important that we had a vetting and transparency of these issues, and it wasn't inserted without public discourse. That's important because whether it's a good bill or bad bill, it's never dead till the end of session on May 8th in Senate DA. So whether it's a good bill or bad bill, it has the possibility to be able to be resurrected as attachment and language into areas of bills of cognizance or relatedness. But well, it has to be related.
So I would think, Senator Huang, that this would see movement. Like you talk about the involvement of the governor. Wasn't one of the things the governor was really mad about was the fact that, you know, he had a piece of legislation, if I can remember correctly, that would lower prescription drug costs, and that didn't get voted on either. So I would imagine he would be like, hey, we got to move this along. This is just not acceptable.
Melissa, it is really a disappointment of such a profound level. And I did listen to your interview with Senator Kelly, and the emotions are palpable because it's not only an association health plan. It was a plethora of bills in which many people came and testified and offered their viewpoints and gave time and effort to move an issue forward. Yes, the governor did have a proposal afoot. We also had a bill that looked at health insurance for retired police officers that may have a gap. We also address title search in regards to the fraudulent real estate case that happened in Fairfield. We looked at a whole bunch of long-term care insurance products, but the disappointment was nothing got done because obviously the chairs needed to agree to an agenda and they just couldn't agree. So the frustration was the process didn't work. And the only losers were the people that gave their time and effort in the legislative process, and they were failed by this disappointment in not voting on anything moving forward. But we're never, ever done till the bell rings on midnight on May 8th. So our encouragement is let's gather the momentum. And yesterday, during the CBIA Business Day, which is the largest gathering of businesses in the state of Connecticut at the Bushnell in Hartford yesterday, our press conference was attended by bipartisan colleagues, Democrats and Republican, House and Senate, that reinforced the support to get this to the finish line because it benefits people that cannot afford health care insurance in the state of Connecticut.
We have a couple more minutes, and I just wanted to reiterate for folks, if you're not familiar with association health plans, what those are and why lawmakers are fighting for that to become an option for Connecticut families to find more affordable options for health care coverage. So we have State Senator Tony Huang here, who is also the ranking member of the Insurance and Real Estate Committee. Do you mind just reiterating for folks, Senator Huang?
Absolutely. One of the most costly health insurance products are for individuals and small businesses that do not have the economy and scale of large self-insurer companies like Sikorsky or Pratt Whitney. And what this association health plan will allow is an affinity grouping, whether it's a chamber of commerce, whether it's the Women Business Development Council or just credit unions or individuals can tie into an affinity to be able to have a group economy of scale that insurance companies can manage the program and say that we can manage risk and reduce cost. And ultimately, it becomes more affordable because you have a greater economy of scale. It makes all the sense in the world, but questions are raised in regards to whether it would provide pre-existing condition coverage, whether it would provide previous medical coverages under the Affordable Care Act. And the answer is yes, and absolutely yes. And it will be relevantly financially managed from a solvency standpoint by the Connecticut Department of Insurance. So the challenges of the exercise we have for these number of years, and this is an initiative that's been led by a Democratic chair of the Insurance Committee, Kerry Woods, Representative Kerry Woods, but also Senator Kelly, when he was chair, was a leader in that area as well. But this has been through a vetting process, Melissa, and the challenge of this is all the answers have been answered and addressed. Why are we not doing this? That is just the frustrating question, because people that are small businesses and individuals that are doing without health insurance costs or unable to afford it are struggling, and why are we not creating solutions? It's one of the most frustrating thing about, you know, the logical process, and we're not doing it, and it befuddles me, it frustrates me, And I want to thank you for your incredible initiative on raising the awareness for people that may now know about this.
I mean, I always said growing up, I don't know why I am knee deep in health insurance, but I am. My whole family, basically, they're all brokers, and it's something that it kills them. I mean, it's a weekly conversation between my father, my brother, my husband, my brother-in-law. I mean, it kills them to tell. You know, like you said, the individual market, it is heartbreaking to tell them each year that this is the best we could do. This is the best you can get. It's just brutal for them. And so I know this is something, you know, firsthand how frustrating this is. But certainly, I think if you ask any average Connecticut resident, they're going to tell you it is just so inexcusable for it to be this expensive. And you're right. People are choosing to take the risk and not have health insurance coverage because they have to put food on the table. They have to keep a roof over their heads. They have to have their kids get into school. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. It's lunacy. Now, here's my last question, Senator Huang, because I know we've run out of time. What's the likelihood it'll pass?
Well, I think public opinion matters, a public voice, and calling your legislators, small businesses and individuals can call their legislators, ask them to support this. It really is a grassroots democratic process. And ultimately, you're so right on this, Melissa. In the aftermath of COVID, when health care and personal well-being is so critical, people cannot do without health insurance costs for themselves, their loved ones, and their employees. This is so important. Call your legislators, call the leadership, call the governor, and let them know we want this plan to ensure that everybody can gain affordable health care insurance.
As you can imagine, Senator Huang, this is probably not the last time you'll hear from me. So we will stay on top of this story, as I know you will, and we'll keep informing the public about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too. And again, State Senator
Tony Huang. And happy Easter to everyone.
Oh, thanks. You too, Senator Huang. Appreciate that. Senator Tony Huang is also the ranking member of the Insurance and Real Estate Committee right here on WICC.